I want us to think about that. We're going to be pondering upon that in today's sermon. The joy at resurrection.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Would you pray together with me as we begin the Word of God here this morning? Lord, thank you again that we can visit what you've done for us. Thank you again for communion time. Thank you again for the word, tetelestai, that it is finished. You've done it, and we're going to praise you and thank you for that. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen, amen. This morning, I have a word that I'd like to bring to you, and I'm asking God that this word would just penetrate our hearts and change us. Because there's a reason that God has brought each and every one of us here today and those that are watching. I want you to go with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. As my introductory text this morning, Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How many of you like the word patience? It's like, please, he's not preaching on that today, is he? No, let's move on. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Now there's so much that I could talk about here this morning, but I want to key in on a verse that the Lord has been speaking to me for the last couple of weeks. And that's verse 2 where he says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That word just continued to penetrate my heart and my spirit. The joy that was set before Jesus that gave him the ability to then despise the shame, endure the cross, endure everything that he had to endure. I want us to think about that. We're going to be pondering upon that in today's sermon and a resurrection Sunday sermon. The joy at resurrection. Joy at resurrection. Now, what is meant by the joy that is set before him? Now, again, he knows what is coming. He knows that the cross is there. He knows that the week before, that there were people laying down palm branches and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then a week later, they would be in the garden with Roman soldiers holding swords at him to take him away, to lead him to a beating that put a man beyond even looking like a man. He was beaten 39 stripes with iron and steel on the end of that that ripped his flesh. Could not tell that he was a man, the scriptures say, because his face was ripped, his flesh was ripped. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured what he needed to endure. Most people, when we think about the passion or what happened to him on the cross, that was really why, you know, he suffered so much. But I think even beyond that was the Bible says that God turned his face on Jesus that day. You want to know what hurt beyond the physical aspect of it? That his Father turned his face. Because Jesus on the cross said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's what Jesus did for you. Why? Because he took your sin. He took my sin. He took the weight of the sin of all that have been and all that will be from that moment forward. And God turned his face because of us. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And it's hard for me to even preach these words or speak these words because it brings tears to my eyes what Jesus did. What joy. What joy was set before him. Well, could it be the response that he'd get from his followers after resurrection? Is that why he might have done it? I want to look at a couple passages of scripture here, and we're going to visit this resurrection story. Go with me to the book of John, chapter 20. Now, the Gospels and the Gospel writers give us different aspects of this, and we're going to pull out and look at this. John chapter 20 in verse 11. This actually is one of my favorite portions of scripture when it comes to the resurrection. Now, I know, who was it? I think it was Janet, was giving me a hard time Wednesday night. She said, Pastor, you got a lot of favorites. And I do. Verse 11, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, into the grave, and seeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been. And they said unto her, Woman, why are you weeping? She said, Because you have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him. And when she had said this, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. You see the love that was there? And Jesus said unto her, and here's my favorite word. He looked at her and he said, Mary. And from that point, she knew that it was the Lord himself. Because only he could speak in that tenderness. And she knew that it was Jesus. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said to her, Don't touch me, for I am not ascended to my Father. He did not have his glorified body yet at that point. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that she had spoken these things. That he had spoken these things unto her. Do you suppose that she was excited? Absolutely she was. She was so excited to run, and I imagine she hadn't run that fast in years, to go tell those disciples what she had seen. So again, could it be that the joy that was set before Jesus was Mary getting so excited to go and tell that he was alive? I don't think so. Or how about Luke chapter 24? Turn back to the book of Luke chapter 24. And we'll start in verse 27. The disciples prior to this were walking along. This was after the death of Jesus. They were walking to this town called Emmaus. How many of you heard the road to Emmaus? And so we pick this up here. Jesus comes along, and they're walking with him. They don't know who he is. And beginning at Moses, verse 27, and all the prophets, Jesus expounded unto them all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone on further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us. It's evening time. The day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Immediately, what happened, Todd? They knew who he was, because remember the Passover meal that they had just spent with him. And their eyes were open and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened the scriptures? And they rose up that same hour, returned to Jerusalem, found the other 11 gathered there, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. You suppose they were excited, Doris? But was that the joy that was set before him? For the excitement that would take place? Matthew chapter 28, turning back again to Matthew's version here. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to the dawn, towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Another version here. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. I always loved that. The angel rolls back the stone and sits on it. Like, aha! Wouldn't you have liked to have seen that? I thought that would have been cool. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear ye not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goes forth before you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Can you imagine the sprint of these ladies, Tori? We just saw Jesus. And the excitement of that. All of those things were exciting, but was that the joy that was set before the Lord that would cause him to go through everything that he went through? What do you think? Got a couple shaking their heads, some saying, well, I don't know, maybe. Is this a trick question? For the joy that was set before him. In Hebrews that we just read, Hebrews 12, verse 2, the joy that was set before him. I want you to get a vivid picture here in your mind. Because the wording here in this particular verse has to do with a plate that is set before someone. And on this plate that was set before him was joy. Now, when you look at that word joy in the Greek, it means to be calm and well off. So for the calmness and well-being and being well off was set before him, he endured the cross. On the contrary, there was another plate that was set before him. And though scriptures do not tell us this in particular, there was another plate that was set before him that caused Jesus to grieve. And I want us to look at that. Luke chapter 22. Staying in the Gospels here again. Luke chapter 22. Verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. This was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had asked his disciples to pray, and he went to a place to pray. And he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now this actually, medical profession can explain this. With drops of blood that come as sweat, there is so much stress. You and I think we have stress. But we have no stress like the stress that Jesus felt that moment. To the point where he asked God, can this cup be removed from me? Is there any other way? And God said, no. There's only one way. There was an agony here. Because even though the scriptures don't show this, I believe that the enemy himself, Satan, showed up in that garden at the same time. Some of you may remember back in Matthew chapter 4. You remember early in Jesus' ministry when the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness? And Satan tempted him. And basically what Satan told him is, if you will bow down and you will worship me, you won't have to go through all this. I will give you all the kingdoms that you can see if you will just fall down and worship me. And I believe probably at that time, Satan was there to revisit his offer. All you have to do is just bow down and worship me. You won't have to go through that. But for the joy, the plate of joy and the plate that Satan offers. You know what? Today we have that same choice. But for the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross, went through what he went through, and 3 days later resurrected and is alive today. Somebody say amen. Thanks be to God that Jesus chose the plate of joy for us. When we look at joy, the word means to be calm and well off. For the joy that was set before him, what joy was it? It wasn't just the happiness that at that particular time that his disciples and the ladies felt. They were excited he was alive. I mean, when you think about this whole thing, would you not be happy? But God wants us to know that there is a difference between being happy and having joy. There's a big difference between being happy and having joy. How many of you, and do you think that it's an accident that a big chain calls their kids' meal a happy meal? That was done on purpose. Because kids like Happy Meals. Toys, right? Yeah, like you. And it makes them happy. Until they play with the toy for a few minutes and then they're done with that. They want a new toy to make them happy again. See, life brings us things. When somebody sets it in front of you or it happens, you may be happy. But happiness quickly goes away, doesn't it? Happiness in the worldly sense is temporary. It's fleeting. Right? But joy is what? It's internal, it's steadfast, it's unmovable. No matter what circumstances that you're going through. How many of you are happy when you get a check from the IRS for $3,000? You're happy. Oh wow, I got $3,000. And now I'm going to spend my $3,000. And when my $3,000's gone, I'm not happy anymore. I want another $3,000. That's just the way we are, right? So Jesus and the Word of God says, for the joy that was set before Him, not the happiness that was set before Him, but the joy that was set before Him, the knowing of what would be produced by Him going to the cross. What was before Him? What was before Him? What did He choose? The joy. And here's where it comes down. The joy meant restoration for people to be restored to fellowship with God. Because prior to that, it was broken. It wasn't there, Lee. People would temporarily come to God and temporarily give offerings of animals and so forth, and sins would be covered over. But for the joy that Jesus said, I will become that sacrificial lamb so that Lee can come boldly before the throne of grace. So the K could come boldly before the throne of grace. So that John could come boldly. Marty could come boldly. Am I the only one excited here? Patty, you want to dance? Don't think so. For the joy that was set before Him, there would be a restoration. That He would bring men and women that were afar away from Him and alienated from Him and no way to get to the Father. Jesus said, I will become the bridge. I will become the bridge. And this week we saw a big freight boat that crashed into a bridge. Very sad situation, and many died in that. But I am telling you that there is nothing that can crash into the bridge that Jesus has made. Amen? Amen? There is nothing that will destroy that from here on out. Because He has become the intercessor. He has become the one that made a way for us to come to the Father through Jesus Christ. Somebody better say amen on a Resurrection Sunday. He has restored our hearts. He has restored love for one another. See, that only comes through the resurrection. That only comes for the joy. See, that was on that plate. It was calm. It was the well-being of the people of God that God did that for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Again, another favorite scripture of mine. I know it is for Kathy too, right?
I like them all.
She likes them all. There is now some condemnation. What? Check that again. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Come on, is there any condemnation to the believer in Jesus Christ? Because of the bridge. Because that's the joy that Jesus looked down into the future. And He said, there will be no more condemnation. That the enemy of our souls cannot come before us and say, look at everything you've done. How can you call yourself a Christian? Just look at what you've done. Look at what you did yesterday.
Jesus forgot it all. It's covered.
It's what?
It's covered.
Are you sure?
It's taken away.
Hallelujah. By the blood. Oh, the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That was the joy. See, the joy is where she is at. How many of us are there right now that we know the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ? Has nothing to do with happiness. It has to do with an innermost knowing who I am in Jesus Christ. Who I am and what He has done for me. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. Alright, we're not only now talking about a knowing who we are and no condemnation being a believer in Christ, but we also know that our bodies will be quickened in that day when Jesus comes back. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
If the Spirit that lives in us, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will raise us from the dead. There's just so many scriptures and I love it. I will tell you this. Many of us know Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my what? Strength. So the joy that was set before him became his strength to do what he had to do. As for you and I today, the joy that we have because of what Jesus did for us and because we know who we are in Christ that has been set before us, that becomes our strength to continue on in the life that we live today. Are you happy that you got that, or are you joyous you got that? You're joyous. That joy of the Lord becomes our strength. We need to know who we are and what Jesus has done. I want to close with this scripture, and again, it's one of my favorite scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Resurrection Sunday, a resurrection message, a resurrected people for Jesus in the house. There is joy at resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal put on immortality, then it'll be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody better say amen to that.
Amen.
Come on now. That was the joy that was set before him. That was the plate that was before him, where he could then say, death has no more sting. Death cannot keep us. Oh, Jesus rose from the grave, and we will as well. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There is joy at resurrection. That joy belongs to us. Do not let the devil tell you otherwise. It belongs to us, brotherly. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm out of breath. Hallelujah, but I'm not out of spirit. The joy of the Lord is my strength. There's joy at resurrection. There's joy. And Jesus has it for you. I don't know what you came into this house thinking. I don't know what you came in here carrying as a load. But I know you don't have to. And I know that there is a joy that is set before us now because of resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for this word. And Lord, thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Glory to your name. And Lord, thank you for choosing the plate of joy. And we will bless your name. We'll thank you. In Jesus' name.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Paul Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.